Amen. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 2 in your Bibles. I think the most familiar portion of Scripture when we think about the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, probably read and taught more than most any other portion in Scripture during these weeks. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, I'm going to read just a few words and from that verse, and then we'll begin. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days." And it came to pass in those days. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for today, for each one who is here. Thank you for the wonderful music. Lord, in each of our lives in this last week, things have come to pass. Today, we may have something unexpected come up in our life, and in the next weeks and months, certainly some things are going to come to pass in our life. Lord, help us to thank you for those things. Help us to seek what you're trying to teach us in those things, and help us, Lord, to use each of those circumstances as best we can for your honor and glory. Give you the praise for what you accomplished now in Jesus' name. Amen. So it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. When I read those words in Scripture, I always think, yes, it comes to pass. It always comes to pass. I looked and I didn't count them all. Computer programs are wonderful sometimes. 395 other times in Scripture we find that phrase, it came to pass. 395 times. That's more than once a day. Sometimes these words are just a transition in a narrative. Other times they tell us that someone has had plans. In the midst of those plans of life, God has intervened and changed the circumstances of their life that his will might be accomplished. And it came to pass in those days. Already in Luke chapter 1, we won't take time to look at all those, but four times already in Luke chapter 1, we've seen those words. In Luke chapter 1, verse 8, it came to pass, talking about Zacharias while he executed the priest's office. Luke 1:23, and it came to pass as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished. Again, a natural event in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1:41, it came to pass after Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. God interrupted Elizabeth, and she and the baby both recognized that Mary was carrying the Christ child. Again, and we see in Luke chapter 1, verse 59, it came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. This is John the Baptist. Again, a natural event in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And it came to pass. Joseph and Mary's life had already been interrupted in a miraculous way. We're going to look tonight at the faith of Joseph, spend more time looking at him and his reaction, his response to the news that Mary was with child. But like many other couples in Galilee, they were engaged and had wedding plans. They talk quietly together about their future. I'm sure they look forward to a quiet, normal life together in Nazareth. I'm sure they looked and Joseph believed that he would continue. He was a carpenter, we know. He would continue in his carpenter's business. He would continue making things and repairing things for people, making a living for his family. I'm sure Mary considered that as she was married, that she would have children, she would keep the house and take care of all of her responsibilities. And they looked and said, this is what our life is going to be like. And it was going to be a great life. But God had interrupted their lives. In Luke chapter 1, let me read several verses down through verse 36 when God interrupts them. And in the sixth month, this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God on the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Mary's life was interrupted. Joseph didn't know anything about this conversation until later on. Her life was interrupted. Telling her that she was a young woman, she was engaged, when they used the word betrothed, to a man. The legal structure was at the time that a betrothal was considered a marriage, even though the husband and wife had not yet come together. They had the legal obligations and responsibilities of marriage. And Mary was betrothed to Joseph, probably Joseph, a man probably in his 30s at least, maybe a little bit older. Mary, a woman who was in her middle or maybe later teens. Normal age for marrying at that time. And God interrupts their lives. We see that the angel tells Mary that the Holy Ghost has come upon her, and that was can be conceived to be of the Holy Ghost. She would not know a man, but yet would bear a child. Seems after this, things settled down again as much as they could. We know that Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country. Elizabeth confirms the message by the angel as the babe, John the Baptist, leaps in her womb at the entrance of Mary and realizing that Mary is carrying the Christ child. John the Baptist is born, and we don't know, but it seems that Mary is still there in the hill country when John the Baptist is born. At that time, Mary would have been 3 months along in her pregnancy. Mary returns to Nazareth, and again, we don't know the exact timeline. But she expects she's going to remain there until her baby's born. We don't know much about the next months. We can assume there was talk about her pregnancy. Small town. Nazareth, probably just a couple of hundred people, not a large metropolis by any means. Everybody knew everybody. And like a lot of places, everybody knew everybody's business. I'm sure in those days, women wearing long robes, that her pregnancy did not show until further along in her pregnancy, but soon it did, and soon people began to talk. Joseph, of course, and we'll look at this more tonight, but Joseph was informed about the pregnancy. And the scripture says he was minded to put away privily, and again, we'll talk more about that tonight. But when God assures him of what's going on, then Joseph is supportive and loving. I'm sure much of the family didn't understand and smiled, and comments were made. And so still, even though their lives had been interrupted by miraculous events, their plans still stayed. Mary was going to give birth in Nazareth. They would establish their home. They would come together as husband and wife. He would continue as a carpenter there. She would raise this child and other children that came along. But in the middle of those circumstances, 2,200 kilometers away, a decision was made that would affect their lives. It's amazing how decisions made by someone hundreds or thousands of kilometers away can trickle down and make a difference in our lives. But here, this was a decision made by the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Caesar, the first of the real true emperors. We know that Julius Caesar was before that, but Caesar Augustus. Caesar gave himself the name Augustus because he believed himself to be deity, the August One. With Caesar Augustus began what historians call Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. 200 years of peace and prosperity. While God did not approve of Caesar Augustus, and God did not approve of a lot of things going on in the Roman Empire, that 200 years is critical to the development of Christianity. Because in those 200 years under Augustus Caesar and those that followed, there was peace and prosperity throughout the empire. Trade and travel was easy. And it was easy in that first century for the gospel to go across the known world. But God used those years. But here, Joseph and Mary's life is interrupted again. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, he had kind of a narrow perspective of the world. He's basically talking about the Mediterranean. But everyone under his influence had to come and register. Now, most believe that they did not go to Bethlehem and there and pay a tax, but it was a census that they were to register so that they could pay taxes, so that he would know how many people were there, and so how much he could levy on each one of them for taxes in order to have the funds that he believed he needed. So Joseph and Mary's life's interrupted again. Mary probably this time is in her ninth month. We don't know exactly again the timetable. They begin their journey, traveling between 100 and 150 kilometers, depending on which route they take. We know that normally they didn't go through Samaria, but they went to the east and traveled along the east side of the Jordan and came back to avoid going through Samaria. That's why it's important in the ministry later on in John chapter 3 when Christ says, "You must needs go through Samaria." An unusual thing. A journey could take between 5 and 7 days walking. We just often see pictures of Christmas and them coming into Bethlehem and Mary riding on a donkey, but the Bible didn't say she does or didn't, but we don't find them wealthy enough to be able to acquire hospitality, housing in Bethlehem, and so it seems that they probably didn't. They probably walked, was normal. 20 kilometers or so a day. They wouldn't have been alone in that journey. The roads traveling up back and forth across the land were thronged with people, some going north, some going south, some going east, some going west, back to their ancestral home, there to register for the census. I'm sure a number of people from Nazareth made their way down, relatives of Joseph's, made their way down to Bethlehem, the city of David. Their arrival didn't cause a stir in the small town of Bethlehem. They were just two more travelers. How do you think Mary felt about these events? How do you think she felt? Now, understand, I get tired of people. You ever watch the news and a building blows up? And the reporter comes to someone who is standing outside the building. They're, you know, maybe they're bleeding and they've lost someone they care about. How do you feel about what happened? I mean, what a stupid question. you know. But we all understand, though, that everyone has feelings. Mary, a woman at the most in her late teens, already has had her life divinely interrupted. Believes that she's going to have her baby in Bethlehem and everything's going to continue on, and she and Joseph by this time are married. But he's not yet come to her. But then to be interrupted again and say, no, you have to walk 5 or 7 days, be 9 months pregnant to go to Bethlehem. You think maybe she thought in her mind, have I not had enough things interrupt my life? Do you think maybe, but she said, I don't know anyone in Bethlehem. Seems they didn't because she had her baby in a stable. There was no one there that they could knock on their door. They were familiar enough with that they could come and they would stay in their home. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my baby? How, God, are all these things working together that your will may be accomplished? Have you felt that way? Some things came to pass in your life, unexpected, much like the edict of Augustus Caesar. And it came to pass in those days that you fill in the blank. Your plans were interrupted. Maybe you had to make a journey. Maybe circumstances that were tugging at your heart. I don't know what it might be. And maybe you, like Mary, I'm sure Mary was not divine. Mary was human with human emotions and feelings and difficulties, just like you and I have. You ask the same questions. Lord, why do I have to do this? Lord, what's going to happen in Bethlehem? I don't know anybody there. Where am I going to have this baby? Who's going to help me with this baby? I don't have, my mother's not there, my sister's, no aunts or cousins there. There's no one there that I can depend on to help me in case there's some difficulties. We know there were midwives at the time. She didn't know anyone there. And it came to pass in those days. What's come to pass in your days? You know, it came to pass in those days for a couple of reasons. It came to pass to fulfill Old Testament scripture. We know that Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says, But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Augustus Caesar had no thought, no understanding of the book of Micah. No understanding, and even if he had, I don't believe he could have ever conceived that his edict to perform a census to raise taxes, that God would use it to bring Joseph and Mary from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. I think the second reason it came to pass was to allow them to come to a place where they could establish their family without the cloud hanging over them of immorality. In Nazareth, I'm sure everyone knew. Everyone knew they were espoused. Everyone knew they were not married. Everyone knew Mary was pregnant. The natural assumption, we understand. But they came to Bethlehem, and there in Bethlehem, they had a bit of a new beginning. Even though this came up later on. You know, later on, John chapter 8 and verse 41. Jesus is speaking. He said, Ye do the deeds of your father. They said to him, listen to what they said. we be not born of fornication. They said, Jesus, we know your heritage. We know what happened. I believe the third reason that it came to pass was to bring them to an area near Jerusalem. Just about 12 kilometers south of Jerusalem was Bethlehem. In Matthew chapter 1, when the kings come in search of one that was born, we talked about in Sunday school, born king of the Jews, they came to the capital and they said, surely in Jerusalem is where this one is born king. The king of the king's palace, where certainly the one who was born king would be born in the king's palace. But they're sent away to Bethlehem, just a day's walk down the road. Came to pass that they could establish themselves near Jerusalem. I think the fourth reason it came to pass was to put them on an easy escape route when the child's life was threatened. We know they settled in Bethlehem probably for about 2 years, because the edict of Herod was to kill all the children 2 years old and younger. Probably about 2 years they lived there. They're established. But Bethlehem is, of course, to the south of Jerusalem. Had they been in Nazareth, the normal route coming from Nazareth down would bring them back through Jerusalem. The routes come south into Jerusalem and then take the southwest road down towards Gaza and down towards Egypt. But now they're already south of Jerusalem. God had, knowing what was going to happen, knowing the kings were going to come, knowing that Herod was going to send out an edict to kill the children, knowing that he was going to warn Joseph, put Joseph in a place where he could very easily make his escape without having to go back through Jerusalem. And it came to pass. I'm sure in the middle of this, Mary questioned why. Joseph did his best to, I believe, be a loving husband and answer her all the right answers. God is working it out. God does all things well. But I'm sure even in Joseph's mind, he says, Lord, I just don't understand all this. You know, it's going to come to pass in your life. Things are going to come into your life. They're unexpected, unwelcomed, inconvenient, troubling, disappointing. It's going to happen. It's the stuff of life. And it came to pass. And it will come to pass. I don't know what's come to pass, I said earlier, in your life this last week. It's last month. I don't know what's come to pass this last year. But there's some things I do know. Romans 8:28. You know the verse as well as I do. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I'm sure as the edict came from Augustus Caesar for everyone to go, and they were packing up and getting all the things they needed to go to Bethlehem and stepping out on that journey, maybe the second, third day of the journey, they said, how is this all going to work out? But we have the privilege of reading the miraculous story of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Job, in the midst of all his troubles, it came to pass in Job's life, didn't it? Oh my, did it come to pass. He says, behold, I go forward and he's not there. And backward, speaking of God, and I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But verse 10 of chapter 23 says, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And it came to pass. Job says, I can't see the hand of God on my left, on my right, before me or behind me. I am blind to it. But yet, even though I cannot see it, he knoweth the way that I take. And he's working this all out for his honor and glory. He's trying me that I might come forth as gold. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." You think maybe Mary and that journey down to Bethlehem, it came to the close of some days, she says, "You know what, I just don't feel I can take any more steps. I don't know how I'm going to get up in the morning and walk again, and the next day again." But God gave her strength day by day. I'm sure Joseph, as he made that journey down to Bethlehem, having to leave behind not only his trade, but most of the tools of his trade, he couldn't take with him. He couldn't carry all that with him. He says, "How's this going to work? How am I going to take care of her in Bethlehem? How am I going to meet her needs? And I have a child now. But he knoweth the way that I take. And the Lord is everlasting strength." What has come to pass in your life? And it came to pass in those days. From a biblical perspective, how should you respond to it? I know how we do respond to it often. We get angry. We get bitter. We try to close ourselves off. How should you respond to it? Will you trust God in his wisdom to do all things well? Will you trust him? Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Edith Lillian Young wrote a poem. "Disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter and I see that the thwarting of my purpose is God's better choice for me. His appointment must be blessing, though it may come in disguise, for the end from the beginning open to his wisdom lies. Disappointment, his appointment. Who's the Lord who loves me best? Understands and knows me fully, who my faith and love would test. For like a loving earthly parent, he rejoices when he knows that his child accepts unquestioned all that from his wisdom flows. Disappointment, his appointment. No good thing will he withhold. From denials oft we gather treasures of his love untold. Well he knows each broken purpose leads to fuller, deeper trust. And the end of all his dealings proves our God is wise and just." Disappointment, his appointment. "Lord, I take it then as such, like a clay in hands of potter, yielding wholly to thy touch. All my life's plan in thy molding, not a single choice be mine. Let me answer, unrepining, Father, not my will, but thine." I'm not sure what circumstances came into Edith Young's life that she wrote that, but certainly she was facing something that came to pass. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?